four, three.
Fuck it.
There's no words on
tomorrow.
It.
Fuck it.
We'll do it live.
Fuck it.
Because I've never seen that.
Fucking thing sucks.
There's no words there.
Fuck it.
There's no words
that's
on
tomorrow.
It.
Fuck it.
We'll do it live.
Fuck it.
Because I've never seen that.
Fucking thing sucks.
There's no words there.
I don't know.
Medicine contains mature content and may be offensive to some listeners. It's a little bit late for that, isn't it? From the, if you're not hereafter what I'm hereafter, you'll be hereafter I'm gone, capital of the world. It's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of radio, now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, Jefferson the Lawyer. Hello, Jefferson.
Hello.
And we also have in the studio, G-Vac,
good
the lovely
evening.
And talented.
Oh, thank you, sir.
And Wiener Sleeve Todd, previously known as Double Vasectomy Todd.
Hey, man.
And our studio audience. I'm turning up the studio audience mic. Hello.
Hi.
This is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio. If you have a question you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider, or if you just can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 423-343-8884. That's 423-DIE-TOOTY. You want to take it? I was afraid you'd say poo head.
I would have.
Yeah, so there you go. See? Visit our website at weirdmedicine.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy. Or go to cafepress.com/weirdmedicine for stupid merchandise. And I'm featuring right now the Dr. Steve Bristol Stool Scale mug. It's a great Christmas gift. Buy one from all your Weird Medicine fans or people. And you know what? Even better than that. If you're going to some stupid white elephant dumbass shit this year, take one of those. It's got pictures of fecal matter on it. It's just drawing, so it's not obscene. And you can classify it. And it's got my dumb picture on it and all of our stupid names.
Yep.
And it's the most ignorant thing, and nobody will know what the hell it is. And it's a great white elephant gift. So,
right, because if you're tired of getting shitty gifts, you can give a shitty gift.
Give a shitty gift. And then they can rate their stools while they're drinking their morning cup of Joe. So
nice.
There you go. This is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you have a question that you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider, if you just can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call. I already said that, didn't I? You know, I'm drinking Rogue American Amber Ale tonight by the Oregon Brewing Company, and we've already done two shows, and we're three sheets to the wind. So
two shows is a lot of beers.
Don't listen to a thing we say. This is for entertainment purposes only. We are not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking it over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, physician's assistant, or whatever. All right. So this week... what are we talking about this week? The SiriusXM show. We're going to talk about G-Vac's elbow. We're going to talk about my new fantasy flight game since Big Kev's geek stuff is off the air. We had to do a little geek stuff. And we also talked about our most disgusting sexual episodes. So if you have a most disgusting sexual episode, if you call in tonight, if it's good, I'll chop it up and we'll use it on the SiriusXM show.
And no you mama jokes.
That's right. And right. Your first dud of the night. It's okay. Jefferson's been throwing out zingers for two shows
killing,
now.
Killing. Right.
Just
killing.
Absolutely killing. We turn on the live mics and then he says something dumbass shit.
I think it's the chair.
You think that's what it is?
It's
He's sitting
chair.
In John's chair.
It smells like farts. Permanently.
It feels like farts. Isn't that, you know, how could something feel like farts, but you're sitting in P.A. John's chair.
And also disclose, I've not Shit, I haven't slept, and I'm going on, what, 36 hours?
Good, dude.
So, I'm wore the fuck out. I'm wore out.
Well, tell us what's going on. Why are you doing that? Are you defending some meth head from, who was selling their scabs at the jail?
No.
Okay.
No.
Nothing that interesting.
Nothing that good. No. just not slept.
All right. Okay. Well, let's listen to some phone calls
Steve,
here.
I wanted to ask you a question. I'm a 40-year-old. Just have a health question. Recently lost about 40 pounds just to a reduction in calories. And as a result of this weight loss, have developed a pretty bad case of hemorrhoids. So I really just have a two-part question. One, I'm just not sure if that's a normal thing as a result of having a pretty rapid weight loss. It's been about, I would say, 5 or 6 months, just, eating better and a little bit of exercise, not a lot, but just really just, eating better, smaller, eating smaller amounts of food. Reduction in.
Okay, this goes on for a long time. What he's asking is, can my 40-pound weight loss somehow have contributed to my having hemorrhoids? And I will throw this out. Normally, I would say no, but there are some dietary changes that people will make that when they lose weight that might cause them to get hemorrhoids. And one of those things is a low carb diet. If he's cutting carbohydrates out, even though you're eating more leafy fruits or green leafy vegetables, you tend to get constipated on that diet. I'm not 100% sure why, but most people on the Atkins-type diet will get constipated. Now, certainly, if you're just eating meat all the time, which, by the way, is not the Atkins diet, that's a low-carb diet, but it is an unhealthy diet to just eat meat all the time. You can see why those people would get constipated. But even if you eat the Atkins diet or the classic low-carb diet, which is green leafy vegetables and animal protein and oils, fat and oils, those people get constipated too. One beneficial effect of that is most people who go on that diet don't have reflux anymore. They no longer kidding. Have heartburn and reflux esophagitis. It's a very interesting side effect.
Horrendous breath, though.
Yes, that's right, because of they're producing what are called ketone bodies, and they smell fruity and kind of sickening. But anyway, constipation will lead to an increase in hemorrhoids, and that's probably what's going on. So what he needs to do is just start increasing the fiber content of his diet by adding
Citrus-El.
We got to work out the whole Three Stooges thing, but we'll work on it. That's what he needs is some Citrus-El.
I'm proud of him.
Yeah, I'm very proud of him. Good for him. And if it takes a hemorrhoid, as a side effect of losing weight, then
so be it.
So be it. Brian, you're on Weird Medicine.
Well, that just ruined my whole joke.
what was your joke?
I don't know. I was going to call up and say I had a question about how come my friend who's a doctor always preempts my goddamn podcast.
What are you talking about? Are you guys on tonight?
Yeah, we're doing a show at 9 o'clock.
Okay, and it will be off by 9 o'clock. And so anybody who's listening now should definitely go over and listen to the Radio Freaks. Who do you guys have tonight?
We have the Manhattan Madam, Kristen Davis, the lady responsible for supplying Elliot Spitzer with his girls.
Damn you and your damn guests.
Big get.
Unbelievable.
Who else you got?
That's it for tonight.
Okay, that's enough.
You don't need any more than that.
No, he doesn't. Nice. You're going to do a whole hour with her?
We're going to do as close to an hour as possible. Yeah, we're going to be taking live calls and questions and stuff like that for
Holy moly. Is she plugging some book or what?
No, not that I know of. I don't think she's plugging anything. She ran for governor of New York in 2010, and I believe she's going to throw her hat back in the ring in the next opportunity. So,
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Be interesting to talk to her and see where her political views lie.
What's funny is if you go to Stitcher, you are tired, aren't you?
I'm so tired.
If you go to Stitcher, you and you look up our show, the Radio Freaks comes out right under us every single time.
And vice versa. And, same thing with our show. You see Weird Medicine right underneath us.
Yeah, it's weird.
Mm.
So
I think the people at Stitcher have finally realized that our two shows are friends and they've just lumped us together.
I guess, but it
could be.
You know, that's awfully advanced of them to do that with all the thousands of podcasts that they have, that they would somehow link those together.
Yeah.
Maybe they just heard his amazing hosting of the Weird Medicine.
That's right.
Last week, maybe they just know that now.
The Weird Medicine Flaccid Penis Edition. Nothing but kudos for Brian from the Radio Freaks on that.
My sphincter's getting all wet from you guys kissing it.
I have never heard such great shameless plugging of one's own show
in my
entire life.
What didn't somebody say? Did Ashley say that? Yeah. Well, what was it that she said?
I was like, wasn't this a 1 hour Radio Freaks commercial? Yeah. And he said, yes, 12 more to come.
Good job, asshole.
Yes, if you enjoyed that, apparently Steve, in his delusional state, he must have been drinking when he asked me to do this, but there's going to be 12 more of them. So,
yeah, well, you know, here's the thing. Brian knows our show better than we do. I can't remember anything that we did last week.
Me neither.
But Brian has this weird encyclopedic memory of stuff that's been done on this show.
Yeah.
And he always listens. And people may wonder, why do I keep plugging Brian's stupid podcast but on the XM show, but it's so that he'll listen to our show. You know, then I know I have one person because he'll listen. Oh, are they talking about me tonight?
No, I listened long before you started mentioning me, and I shall listen long after.
We talked about you on the...
And now our assholes are getting wet.
We talked about you on the SiriusXM show because we were talking about people smoking electronic cigarettes.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
The first time I ever saw one was Brian smoking one in the XM studio, the Opie and Anthony studio, when we were interviewing Ron Bennington.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That was last year's live Weird Medicine.
Yep. And this son of a bitch in the middle of the show pulls out what looks like a cigarette and starts smoking. I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
I brought those up there on purpose because if you remember, you're like, well, bring some stuff to talk about just in case we need to do it, but I don't think we'll need to. I said, all right, fine. So I brought the e-cigarettes because I know you had mentioned it on several episodes before that.
So you started smoking it in the middle of my interview with Ron so that I would stop and say, oh, by the way, thanks for bringing in this prop so we could talk about it. Is that what your story is?
No, I just figured, fuck it, I have them.
Okay.
God damn it. I'm
okay, fair enough.
So he was the first guy you ever saw?
That's the first time I ever saw an electronic cigarette.
Yeah. He's still the first male I've ever seen smoke one.
Yeah. He's drinking Zima.
Yeah. Zima. Well, we're going to try to get GVAC and Ashley to quit smoking, and that's one of the things we may see if they'll consider doing is an electronic cigarette. I was very leery about them originally because I was concerned about their safety, and I'm still not thrilled with the fact that people can buy a drug delivery system that's not regulated by the FDA over the counter just, you know, because it's sent here from some other country. But, you know, I have yet to see a case where someone's got nicotine poisoning from one of these things. So I'm not advocating it yet, but I am interested.
Is because those things are actually, believe it or not, sent out in metered doses. You can puff a certain number of times, and then it will cut you off.
You know, I just have so much trouble buying that because it's like, why am I trusting this factory in wherever God knows where it is to have a metered dose inhaler, basically, you know?
I know.
That's my issue with it. So I'm just, if the FDA would approve these things and start monitoring them, I'd be all behind it. Because it's certainly, from a cancer standpoint, more safe than smoking nicotine. I'm sorry, smoking cigarettes. Because the tar is what causes cancer. Right. But the nicotine definitely contributes to heart disease and stroke and stuff. So it ain't benign. You know, it's still an issue. And interestingly, once you have cancer, nicotine promotes a thing called protein kinase C that actually is a tumor promoter. So people who have cancer that say, oh, shit, I should, you know, I might as well just go ahead and smoke. There actually is a reason to stop smoking, even if you've got cancer that's spread, because it may grow slower if you stop smoking. So, All right. Well, cool, Brian. Where can they hear your show?
RadioFreaks.tv live at 9 o'clock.
Right on.
I'll be listening, man.
Peace, Bri.
Later, guys.
Okay, man. We'll see you. Give us a call at area code 423-343-8884. We are on Stitcher. We're also on Ustream right now. And if you have a question, feel free to give us a call. It's good to hear from old Brian. Brian from the Radio Freaks. Let's see. All right. Let's try this call.
Hey, Dr. Steve. My name is Elaine. I'm calling from California. Just wanted to let you know that my husband and I are really big fans of the show, and I do have a question. My primary care doctor recommended that I take 1,000 milligrams of fish oil soft gels 3 times a day with meals. And I've been doing this for about a month or so, and I'm noticing a fish odor in the genital area. And there don't seem to be, there are no other signs or symptoms of an infection. And I'm wondering if it could be related to the fish oil. And if so, how do I prevent the odor? Thank you very much. Bye.
Is fish oil good for your sense of smell?
I was running 100 lines through my head during that, as we all were. And I think you won that one. I'll give you a high five on that.
Nice
there
job.
You go.
Up top,
good
up
job.
Top, brother.
Oh, God. Oh, you know, I was going to throw out the old hacky blind guy at the fish market. Yeah. Hello, ladies. But, you know, yours was so much better.
Well, we know she does yoga.
Even better.
I think that it's probably not related to the fish oil, although you can get an odor, a fishy odor from fish oil, from what I understand. There are some authors that agree that that's a possibility and other authors that are skeptical about it. But most likely she's got a bacterial vaginosis, which is not a bacterial infection, but a bacterial colonization with a bacteria called Gardnerella. And one of the ways that we detect it is by putting potassium hydroxide on it, which is a chemical that will break down the cell walls and release the fishy smell. And you actually do what's called a whiff test, and you smell the slide after you put potassium hydroxide on there. If it smells like fish, they have Gardnerella. And the other way that you can look under the microscope, and if there are white blood cells or if there are skins, you know, vaginal skin cells that are covered in bacteria, those are called clue cells. And that's another way to determine someone has bacterial vaginosis. And you use a medication called Flagyl to treat that. Mm. A natural, quote-unquote, way to do it might be to use plain yogurt douches. Mm. So use plain yogurt. Don't use strawberry or key lime flavor. A tablespoon in a couple of ounces of water and douche with that. And sometimes you'll replace the bad bacteria with the good bacteria, which is lactobacillus, mm-hmm. which is interesting. It proves to me that God has a sense of humor, that the same bacteria that makes yogurt yogurty also makes the vagina, you know, such a lovely, wonderful place. So
absolutely.
Did she try changing the brand of fish pills?
Nah, they're pretty much all the same. Okay. Although she could try krill oil. Krill oil has the same benefits as fish oil and may not be as fishy. So
what about the tablets that aren't fishy at all?
No, they still got the fish oil in them, so you'll still have fish oil effects. So.
I saw a commercial the other day for one that claimed no odor.
Yeah, that's no breath odor.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
So those things are enteric coated, so they break up in your intestines.
I see. So you'll still get vaginal odor.
No. I know, dude. I'm saying it's not that.
I'm sorry. I couldn't help it.
All right. 720 area code. You're on Weird Medicine Addendum.
Hey, Dr. Steve. It's Travis calling from Denver.
Hey, Travis.
And, hey, I'm just calling because I have this kind of weird thing on my foot. It's like a bone splinter or something. You know, I have flat feet. It doesn't hurt me, but I'm kind of wondering what it is, or should I get surgery on this thing, or what should I do to, you know, make it better.
Okay, what part of your foot is it on?
It's on the top part of my foot. I don't want to tell you the bone, but yeah, it's on the top part of the foot.
Okay.
Okay,
so it's on one of the long bones of the foot?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Actually, it's more kind of just below the heel.
Below the heel?
Yeah.
I think he means if you start at the heel and go, but it's on the top of the foot, but he's giving you a reference lengthwise.
So it's where the tongue of your shoe would hit this thing?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Does it hurt you, or is it red or breaking through the skin in any way?
No, it doesn't hurt. It's just more kind of, I look at it and I get weirded out.
Yeah. It's most likely actually not a bone, and I wish P.A. John was here. It could be a thing called a sesamoid, which is a bone, but it's inside a tendon, and it's free-floating. Hmm. The other thing is that it could be a tendon or a ligament that was injured even 10, 15 years ago, and as you mature, you sort of lose fat in your feet. You know how babies have fat, little chubby feet, but now I've got this kind of scrawny, skeletal-looking foot. And I think you can see more stuff, and so when you have an injury like that, it could be more apparent down the road as it matures. So if it's not bothering you, I'd leave it alone. But this is what I would do. The next time you're at your primary care doctor's office, let them take a look at it. And I would want you to get it seen sooner rather than later if it starts to grow, you know, or gets red or starts causing pain like that.
If it's a tendon or ligament and it's not causing him pain, is that because it's dead now?
No, it's not necessarily dead, but it could just be an old injury that either bled into the tendon or ligament and then left behind a calcium deposit.
Okay.
So he may have had a bruise there, and then when it matured, all the blood and all the soft tissue and all the fluid, you know, was drawn out of there. But what the one thing the body can't really draw out of a collection of fluid is the minerals, and so you get a calcium deposit that's still there. So that may be all it is. But just let them look at it next time. And then if they find something interesting, give us a call back or email me, and I'll update everybody.
Can do. Thank you, Dr.
Steve. Okay, Travis. Thanks, man.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. It's 423-343-8884 is the number. And give us a call. Ashley, you got any questions from the chat room in there?
I've got someone who's going to call you about your stance on medical marijuana.
Oh, please.
Ooh, that'll be good for a change.
Is that the 630 area code? Because if it is, you are on the air.
How you doing? I just want to know where you stand on medical marijuana, Dr. Steve.
Completely 100% in favor of it. And I'll tell you why. I had, and this is anecdotal evidence, but I had a patient who had HIV. He was a son of a friend of mine. And when he would come to me and he was smoking pot, he was gaining weight, feeling good, taking his antiretroviral drugs. And when he would run out of pot, he would start to decline and lose weight and lose his appetite and look shitty. Mm-hmm. And that's not the only time I've ever seen that. But I'll say the 50 cases that I've seen of people who were smoking pot for medical reasons, it made them feel better if it didn't do something medically for them. Now, what I do is hospice and stuff. As a side part of my job, and I feel that there for those patients in particular, there should be nothing withheld from us that might make them feel better.
Exactly.
If you're going to die,
Why
should the government be telling us that you can't take certain things unless it's somehow shown to be harmful? So. Mm-hmm. I am a proponent of it. I'm in favor of pot being legal, to just take. But I think that my reason for that is more political and financial than anything else. Is just to why allow the black market to make all the money on this when the government could be making money off of it?
Right on.
Right.
You know, that's my opinion anyway. And, you know, there's people get mad at me because it's a gateway drug or whatever. You know what's the gateway drug is nicotine.
Yeah.
Tobacco is the gateway drug. So
actually, I only ask because I have hidradenitis, and it helps me a lot.
Wow.
Pain, and it doesn't help as much as, say, taking, you know, a 10 milligram Vicodin pill.
Right.
But I know that my liver isn't going to, like, try to jump out of my asshole when I do it. So, yeah, that's just really what...
I have never heard of pot being used for a hidradenitis suppurativa, but I have GBAC is giving me a quizzical look.
What is that? Yeah.
Hidradenitis is a disorder of the sweat glands where they become enlarged and hypertrophied and pocked. And some people tell us a little bit about your tell him how if you don't mind how yours presented and what it looks like and all that kind of stuff.
Right now I'm in stage two. I've had a couple of doctors tell me they think it's going up to stage three, but I've already had four surgeries for it. I had my inner thighs excised because of it.
Yeah.
And it started to spread to, like, the area in between my buttocks.
It's and, red like, my, and pockmarked and painful. You know? If you'll email me at weirdmedicinexm@gmail.com, I'll send you a new study on a new drug for hidradenitis suppurativa that's come out that is pretty interesting. Now, the problem with this drug is that if you take it for a long enough time, it can increase your chance of getting certain tumors because it does suppress your immune system. But, you know, if you have a real severe case where they're doing surgery after surgery after surgery, it might be something to look into. Because if it was me and it was that bad, I would maybe take the chance that I might get cancer down the road to have a, you know, a clear skin life in the meantime. So I'm not advocating that you do that. But, you know, if you're interested in the information, email me.
I just want to say that the worst part of having it is that I had it for years and years, and nobody knew what the hell it was. I went to doctor after doctor, and they just kept misdiagnosing it, telling me to take more showers, this and that, watch my diet. And I wasted so much time, you know. And
you should
have horrible.
You should have come to the XM Studios when we did What the Hell Is That with Dr. Mike, and we had a guy come in with hidradenitis, and we, you know, diagnosed it in 2 seconds. So that's what scares me about some of the doctors out there.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, they say it's an orphan disease and not a lot of people. It's not that I don't think a lot of people don't have it. It's just a lot of people are ashamed to even say, hey, what's going on, and go to a doctor and get it checked out. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
all right, man. Well,
I don't want to take up any more of your time. So
appreciate it, man. Oh, they're saying that you have to go. So All right, man. We'll see you later.
Bye.
Okay. Yeah.
There's a lot of that go on where you don't know what it is. So you go, you know, watch your diet. And
yep.
Get more sleep. See you later.
Well, here's the thing. Most doctors know that 70% of people will get better if we just do nothing. And it's probably higher than 70%. Most of the people, the vast majority of people that come into our office would get better if we didn't just stepped out of the way.
The other 30% won't be here long to complain.
But their family will go see Jefferson. And he'll sue our ass.
And yet 70% of the time when I go to the doctor,
they
don't do nothing.
Right. They'll give you something because people have become conditioned to feel like if you're going to an allopathic physician, which is what Western medical doctors are, that they need to give you a pill or some kind of treatment or something. Mm-hmm. So, but if you go to a chiropractor, you'll get your spine adjusted. Yep. You know, if you go to a tailor, you'll get a new suit. You go to a cobbler, you get a pair of shoes. So, I mean, it's just pick the right place to go in the first place, you know.
It's kind of insane when you think about it. Like, doctors will prescribe all these chemicals made in a laboratory, but, you know, I'm not even a marijuana user, but that they will ban a home remedy, like a plant. You know what I mean? I mean, this is something like people have been doing for thousands of years, and it's like, you can't have that plant, but these doctors are free to prescribe these chemicals.
Yeah, well, they do go
it's
through...
It's insane.
They go through a rigorous process to show that they actually do what they say they're going to do. And the problem with the FDA and marijuana is, unless they change their rules, they will never be able to approve pot. It will never happen because the FDA's rules state that you have to have a molecule that can be identified, and it has to have that molecule has to, or it can be a combination of molecules. If you've got Vicodin, that's hydrocodone and acetaminophen, you know. But these molecules have to be purified to a certain degree. You have to know the exact proportions of the molecules if you have more than one, and you have to be able to prove that they have a positive medical effect that outweighs their negative medical effect. That you can never do that with pot because every plant has different ratios of active ingredients, and there's like 10,000 active ingredients.
Yeah. Well, then I can understand them saying it's illegal to sell it, but how could they make it illegal for you to use it yourself?
Yeah, no, I know.
That's madness.
No, it's the FDA can't approve it as medicine, but right. the government could just say, you know what, it's legal. Go yeah. to it. Have fun. And you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to sell it in ABC stores and mm-hmm. package stores that are licensed, and we're going to tax it. Mm-hmm. And look at this. Wow, you've got, you know, Yukon Gold, and you've got, you know, your whatever, you know, Mr. Mushroom.
Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper, yes, exactly. You know, whatever. And, you know, you can buy alcohol that way. There would be a huge market for that.
Oh, absolutely.
And do you ever hear of potheads, you know, going and busting up some bar someplace? No. It just doesn't happen. So
no, nobody smokes a joint and shoots their brother.
Well, I can't say nobody's ever done that. But, you know, I have an open mind. I've had my mind changed on this show on multiple different things. If someone has a contrarian view to me, if they want to try to convince me, I'm certainly open to looking at it in a way that I haven't looked at it before. I just don't see the sense in making it illegal at this point. I understand that we don't want to introduce more abusable drugs to the marketplace, but it's not accepting defeat when we realize that it's already out there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
right.
And there is an underground economy that is making billions of dollars off of this, and we've got a government that is, you know, hurting for money, and, you know, you could help use it for education. They did it with the lottery. Yeah. People hated the idea of the lottery. And especially in Tennessee, it was very difficult to pass the lottery because it was considered gambling and ungodly and stuff. But we have a Tennessee lottery now. And, you know, I think that it would only take a little bit of a change in perception to legalize pot. But anyway, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'm just...
blowing smoke.
Almost said it. Caught myself and then had nothing to replace it with. So anyway, all right. Well, listen, we've really enjoyed this, and a short show, but we got to get out before Brian and the Radio Freaks start. So check out Brian and John at radiofreaks.tv tonight, and they've got, who is it that they've got tonight? See, I'm...
Madam.
The Madam. Manhattan Elliot Spitzer.
Oh, with what's her name?
Manhattan Madam.
What's her name, though? Jeez, were any of us listening?
Yeah, but who remembers the exact name? I mean,
Spitzer's cum dumpster.
Oh my God! Okay, thank you, Jefferson. All right. Well, listen. Thank you to Jefferson, GVAC, Double Vasectomy Todd, Ashley, working the chat room. Thanks to our listeners, whose voicemails and topic ideas make this job very easy. We cannot forget Eric Nagel, Opie and Anthony, and Ron and Fez, who steadfast supported this show. Never goes unappreciated. Looks like we have been picked up for another year on SiriusXM. I can't make the official announcement yet, but we're going to have some interesting things to do over the next year, because nice. It probably will be our last year, and so we got to do some badass shit.
Right on.
Okay, yeah. Well, I wouldn't mind getting thrown off the air.
Radio Rebels.
But I am looking forward to the YMB show because we'll have a good time. I'm just going to get absolutely wasted.
Love it.
Listen, until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks for the next edition of the Weird Medicine Addendum. Comfortably numb.